Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, beloved friends, and welcome to Divine Experience with your host, Dr. Dacia Smith-McConduchy. Thank you again for joining us this evening, and I thought it would be very appropriate to open with one of my favorite gospel songs from my youth and young adult days. We're Blessed by Fred Hammond in the late 90s. I believe it was 1996. And when I was at Vanderbilt, we took a trip to one of the centers, auditorium type facilities there in Nashville. It was having a gospel concert, contemporary gospel concert with Fred Hammond and Yolanda Adams and several others who were popular during that time. So it's just reminiscent for me. And we are talking about Bible basics for youth and young adults today. This is designated Youth and Young Adult Month for the Divine Experience Blog Talk Radio Show. This is the month when K through 12 students are returning to school, starting school. My son is a high school senior this year, and my stepdaughter is a high school freshman, and then we have students starting college, undergraduate, graduate students. We also have young people embarking on their first full-time jobs and beginning to navigate their way throughout life and in society. So it is a very special time for youth and young adults and for those parents or loved ones or those close to them to be in prayer and definitely be supporting them and encouraging them and inspiring them. So we are expected to have a special guest on the line today to talk with us more about Bible Basics for Youth, one of the local ministers in this area who will be bringing him on the air shortly. But I just wanted to, first of all, give some updates concerning myself. Yesterday at church, I heard a very profound, speech from one of our young adults who facilitates the Broken Couches Youth and Young Adult class. And then that's the name that they've given it to basically indicate that anything broken can be fixed. But this particular young man, you know, had a very touching, heartwarming story about his life and some of the things that he's overcome. So I just wanted to reiterate a few of the points that he mentioned. Again, this is this young man's revelation, and so I'm again just restating it. So I definitely want to give the Holy Spirit credit for giving this young man this, you know, conviction. But he was talking about how prayer, it's so important to model prayer for our young people, our youth and young adults. And, you know, he spoke about some particular tragic events in his life about 4 or 5 years ago and how it brought him to a place where he knew he needed to be more prayerful and his prayer life needed to grow, to expand beyond what he could have conceived in order for him to just be able to survive so that his spirit wouldn't die. He lost both of his parents within a year of each other. So he was really, you know, disheartened, dismayed, downcast, and, you know, very spiritually weak even. But prayer was, you know, definitely a powerful force in his life to help him reconnect with the Lord and to help him know he could rely on the Lord and lean on the Lord to get him through those tough times. And there were those into his life, mentors, spiritual mentors and guides to help him, you know, begin to recover and try to move forward, even in those obviously very disturbing circumstances. So I just wanted to mention him as a person of influence for this week regarding youth and young adults. And now at this time, I'm going to bring on the line our special guest, Minister Stevie Ray.
Good evening.
Hi, how are you?
Do you hear me?
Hello? Yes, yes.
Okay.
How are you?
Right. Doing fine, blessed.
Yes, same here. Blessed and highly favored by the Lord. Indeed, that is that's wonderful to be able to say that we are children of God and heirs of the promise. So
right.
I want to thank you again so much for agreeing to be on the show. I know that you, as well as many other ministers and pastors and just youth workers in the Memphis area have for years been doing so much to influence and enhance and enrich the lives of youth and young adults spiritually.
Right.
So I know that, you know, when we talk about youth and young adults, just for the sake of the audience, we are specifically speaking on, you know, anywhere from as young as 12 now, but primarily starting at 16 up to age 25 or 28.
Right.
Because the stages of development say that adolescence really doesn't fully end until age 28. And I know we probably have some 20-something-year-olds out there maybe feeling somewhat offended or insulted by that. But please don't, because it's when you think about the lifespan of, you know, the average person being up until almost 80 years old, you know, 25, 28 is really very young. It's a critical time period of development and, you know, reaching milestones and making crossroads in life. So I'm just going to just ask you just a few questions, Minister Stevie, and as it relates to your work with youth and young adults and even, you know, recalling from your own past experience. At what age did you first give your life to the Lord, and what prompted you to join the ministry and specifically become involved in this work?
Well, I guess I gave my life to the Lord late, like 19 years old. I didn't necessarily grow up in the church, and I gave my life to the Lord in 1978 as a sophomore in college. So, so
wow.
You can just guess my age. But anyway, yes, it's, you know, I didn't necessarily grow up in the church per se. But I guess my mother and father used to, you know, take us to church on special occasions like Christmas or Easter. But I didn't necessarily grow up in the church. I didn't start, you know, attending church till I was, like I said, a sophomore in college. And the Lord really started dealing with me, I guess, spiritually, I guess, around 87 to 1988. I had been in church for several years. And it wasn't really sold out like I should. It was still carnal, you know, still living a life as a carnal Christian, our sinner, going to clubs, you know, drinking, just having fun, you know, college life parties
right.
and
right.
Greek fraternities and that thing.
Right.
Right. So the Lord started dealing with me, I guess, a little later on.
Amen. And that, you know, I appreciate you saying that, because I myself, I have a somewhat of a different story background, but some similarities. We did go to church growing up. I remember Vacation Bible School. I remember the Sunday services, and it was
yes.
Baptist style orientation. So it may have been 3 or 4, you know, even 5 hours maybe in the church. But the interesting thing about it, Minister Stevie, is that
yes.
I did not really see spirituality strong in my home. We had a very mm-hmm. secular home. The only time, and I have wonderful parents. I know they did the absolute best job that they knew how to do. I was very
right.
blessed in that regard. But I didn't
mm-hmm.
see them praying unless it was the time to eat or, you know, Christmas Day or so. We didn't have family Bible studies at home.
Right, okay.
I don't remember gospel music being played throughout the house unless it was Sunday. You know, we were doing the Michael Jackson, Luther Vandross, you know, stuff and
okay.
things my dad was into. But, you know, it's interesting you say that, because when I got to college, I think it was my junior year in college, and I had a mentor who was a year younger than me, a classmate a year younger than me, who really helped me begin to explore and develop, you know, my faith and
right.
What it really meant to me and, you know, my identity as a Christian. And like you, I had years mm-hmm. after that of just kind of wavering and different things, but it was in college as well where I began to kind of recognize and realize that I want to, you know, be more connected, you know, with the
right.
Lord. I want to have my own personal relationship. So young people
yeah.
who are listening, do know that even if you didn't grow up in the church, you had a background that wasn't, you know, as strong in spiritual development, you can still, you know, take that initiative on your own to, you know, research and delve into the Word and and make that personal connection and that commitment.
Right. See, like myself, you know, in college I was still, you know, in the world, but I had a desire to really serve God. I mean, I just, at that time, I was still, you know, want to, you know, live in two worlds. And
right.
I think I would go to some of the Christian fellowships they had on campus, and I would, like, sit in the back. Didn't want nobody to really recognize me because I still wanted to do my thing and party. And, you know, I was part of a fraternity, and I was kind of, you know, kind of popular on campus, and I was still wasn't ready to really give it all to the Lord until late on.
Right.
In the late 80s.
Right. And I was a part, you know, of a sorority as well. And in college, especially for young people, there's a huge appeal for those types of things. And,
yes.
you know, giving your life to Christ is really, it's an individual decision and actions that we take, and the behaviors that we exhibit is really of an individual choice. And so, you know, the Bible talks about, and Paul tells Timothy, you know, about fleeing the youthful lust or whatever
youthful,
the appeals
yes.
or enticements may be for the things of God, the spiritual mm-hmm. things that last and that, you know, contribute to one's, you know, greater self-development
yes.
as a Christian. So what do you believe are the most critical spiritual warfare issues facing young people today? Because I'm a teacher in the school system. I'm actually a school counselor, high school
okay.
counselor. And I've been at the elementary, middle, and high school levels. And I have, as I said, a senior in high school myself now and a stepdaughter who's a freshman. And so, you know, I've worked with youth all of
right.
my adult life pretty much, even when
okay.
I was a youth myself, a young adult. So
yes.
I noticed some, you know, trends and patterns developing more over the years. You know, for example, the lascivious behaviors and things, the salacious types of, you know, interests with, you know, the movies and the music.
Right.
Definitely, you know, the LGBT homosexual type, you know, explorations and fascinations
yes.
and things of that sort, gang activity. But what would you
mm-hmm.
say are the biggest, because we know the devil has an agenda, you know, Satan
right.
really wants to kill, steal, and destroy our young people and their
mm-hmm.
futures. So what are you seeing as the core areas we need to target with that?
Well, you know, I have worked with young people off and on too. You know, as far as from a professional setting and as far as in ministry too, because my background is social work. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've had the opportunity to work with young people, and you know, with their issues and their problems relating to, you know, self-worth and you know, issue with their parents and people who they live with. And, you know, so I guess the most critical issue, I guess, outside of spiritual warfare. It's first of all, they want to be accepted and they want to be loved,
mm-hmm.
you know, by their parents,
mm-hmm.
Close family members they look up to. So, and
right.
you know, if these needs are not met, you know, that's open the door. It's open the door to spiritual warfare, because see, there's a need for every human to be accepted and loved. And if
right.
and if teens are not getting this, they're gonna fellowship with the wrong people. And the Bible talks a lot about fellowship, and we need to not forsake ourselves for the sin of others. We need to fellowship in a church type setting and type of environment where they can strive. So, you know, like I said, you know, they need to be accepted in love, and see, and because if not, it's open the door to spiritual warfare. You got a spirit of rebellion,
right.
you got a spirit of rejection. So it opens those doors up if they are not getting what they need. You know, it all starts at home. So that's
yes.
that's where the buck starts. It starts at home. That's at the root of the problem, because
right.
The children, young adults, and teens are not getting what they need in the home environment. Okay,
that is
so they
true.
Right. So they start mm-hmm. isolating themselves, and they become loners. You know, by themselves, isolating themselves, and most of
getting caught up with the wrong crowds as well.
Right.
Getting caught up with the
right.
wrong groups and.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And most of the loners, they have a tendency to isolate themselves, and those are the ones that are being involved, basically like in the mass murder, serial killers, and all of that. They're loners.
Right. Homicidal.
So they're seeking, for some type of attention. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yes, I totally agree with you that, you know, the home is truly the basis for, you know, well-adjusted adolescent development and a sense of value of, you know, respect for self and even just, you know, social skill, you know, interaction and things. And I've noticed again in that pattern over the years as the homes have become more broken and dysfunctional, you know, I see, you know, young people. You see just a dearth in so many aspects, you know, in terms of their motivation in school. You know, there's apathy, there's so much anger and aggression.
Yes, right.
And it could be there's volatility and really, you know, a sense of betrayal. If you really speak with a lot of them about, you know, my dad wasn't there, and then, you know, my mom's always out and never at home. And I feel, you know, they just feel so abandoned.
Yeah, because,
and dismissed,
you know, right. And so we see more single parents these days. And not saying that single parents can't do a good job, but there are a lot of single parents that raise children, and they are successful children. They are in college. They have graduated from college, but you got a lot of young men who dad is not in the home, and you know, they feel, you know, that dad have forsaken them, and they just angry. You know, I run to young people a lot. They can't even speak to you. I mean, they just angry. It's a spirit of anger on them because dad is not around to really mold and teach them.
Yeah.
So yeah, you get into a situation where, and they feel they need to be a part of something. They get involved with the wrong crowd. It's just a teaching seeking. Get involved with gangs, and I guess somebody will notice me then. I can be on TV, in the news in a bad way. So yeah, that's the issue there. Is, you know, you got a lot of young men who don't know who their dad is.
Right. Right.
A dad is not around. A dad is in prison or something.
Exactly. And any time anyone, youth, young adult, or whatever age, tries to build up a self value in anyone other than Jesus Christ, who made us, who created us, you're going to have a problem. Because we can't get that from, you know, other people, society, or any other, you know, type of entity. It must be rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. And then you're making better decisions, healthier decisions. We're, you know, displaying the fruits of the Spirit. We have love in our hearts. Even though bad things happen to us, we still project love because we're, you know, Jesus Christ is with it. We're letting the Holy Spirit work within us. So in terms of Bible principles and promises that can guide the decision-making of young people, I mentioned the young man at my church earlier who facilitates the youth and young adult class my son is in, and how he was talking about prayer and really, you know, getting in there and just grasping onto, you know, the promises of the Lord and, you know, wrestling with God like Jacob did and saying, you know, I am going to get my blessing. My blessing is not going to escape me. You know, I claim my blessing and I will receive it no matter how tough life may be, to you know, be in a place to receive those promises of God. One of my favorite scriptures is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, you know, thoughts to give you hope and a future, prosper you and not to harm you. That's one of my favorites because I believe as young people really absorb that, they begin to have a whole different vision for what's ahead and have a positive, optimistic mindset, because if God is for you, who could be against you, you know, as it states in Scripture. It doesn't matter who is, because, you know, when God is when we're on the side of God, we're winners. We're victorious.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what are some other Bible principles or promises that you have shared with young people you've encountered that's helped mm-hmm. them and advanced them?
See, our teens, the young people, they've been so bombarded with so many negative images and messages, you know, to do wrong. You know, there's the internet, there's social media.
Right.
And they're dealing with issues that teens 20 years ago, I'm talking about 1997, and, I mean, that was the start of the internet, but everybody didn't have the internet back then. You know,
right.
We've got the internet now. People, I mean, teens, in the, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you know, 40 years ago when I was a teen, I mean, we didn't have to deal with these issues. But you're dealing
right.
with, like I said, you're dealing with a social media issue, you're dealing with negative images on the internet, vulgarity, nudity, and just
right.
a lot of bad images out there, see. Because I just heard on the news, like, I guess a couple of days ago, that this student at BTW was threatened because he didn't join a gang. He told somebody. He was threatened. Yeah, right. So that's a situation of them being threatened, you know, by gangs because they don't join them, see.
Right.
But first of all, a young person must want to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. They must have
Amen.
A relationship.
Amen.
They got to have a relationship with him. They must have a desire because he's not, you know, he's not the God of their parents and grandparents. He wants to have a relationship with young people too, young, you know, teens and young adults. They got to
right.
know that. Right. He wants to be intimate with them.
Yeah.
And they have to just see that. They need some direction and guidance in that area. I'm looking at Jeremiah 1:5. It says, "Here, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." So God already knew them. Before you were
yeah.
born, I sanctified you. I set you apart. And I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. God have ordained
Hallelujah.
Young people to be a prophet. He have called them. They got a calling.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in ministry, but they have a calling with their gifts and talents that God had blessed them with.
Yeah.
But they are using it the wrong way, to sell drugs, to organize gangs. That's the perverted
right.
way.
Right.
That God
had, right.
have gifted them, see, ordained them, see. Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, he ordained young people. They must know that God knew them before, you know, they were from their mother's womb. So that
right.
does away with abortion, because a lot of young teens, they want to get abortions and all of that. The young men are
mm-hmm.
forcing them to get abortions, okay?
Right.
And second of all, God mm-hmm. God tells them to remember, now remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Okay, because
yes.
it's going to be difficult days ahead. That's in Ezekiel 12:1. So they
right.
must be taught that too.
That is so true, and I'm so glad that you just mentioned this scripture in Ezekiel, because it's just a reminder and a request and a sincere request to those in the older young adult group, like myself, and even those who would be considered our elders, to make sure that
yes.
we are modeling for our young people examples.
Right.
We're exemplars of prayer. We're exemplars of faith. Our young people need to see us praying, not just in a church service. We need to pray with them at home. We need to pray over
yes.
them when they are asleep. Go into their room. I do that with my son. He doesn't even know
yes.
it. I'm praying
mm-hmm.
over him right there. And I'm praying
right.
that he will be, you know, that the anointing will just,
that's good.
You know, just
mm-hmm.
manifest itself, you know, through him
yes.
and through his life, that the
mm-hmm.
Lord lead him and guide him in prosperous ways and paths that, you know, he will make straight and clear for
right.
him. And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, I have to say, I was listening to 95.7, as I frequently listen to it in the morning,
mm-hmm.
And they were talking about how Al Sharpton is calling upon all ministers, pastors, et cetera, to join him in a march for social justice causes and, you know, against the social injustices and so forth in Washington, D.C. Thought about how powerful and just revolutionary it would be if young people, youth and young adults, had that kind of massive, you know, universal gathering in the name of the Lord for, you know, justice, for righteousness, for love, for peace, for hope. And I just, you know, I see it, you know, I see it literally in my mind coming to fruition. But
you have to, to acknowledge the Lord, right?
Right, right. Using technology, and you know, that's something that, you know, it has been perverted, as you said. But God initially intended for it to be used to spread the gospel and evangelize and make more people aware of the truth. So I we're out of time for today, but I certainly plan to have you back on,
time go back so fast.
For part two. It does. But I definitely, will be
glad a lot more to share
to come back on in the future. Yes.
Okay.
I thank you so much for your time. And
yes.
Is there a website or anything that you
have? Nothing in the making. I don't have a website yet, but I do stuff by email, by Google page, and all of that. And I don't have a website, not as of yet. Right.
Yes, I appreciate your emails. I love getting them. I love getting the inspirational messages you send and the scripture verses. And you have certainly me and blessed others. And I pray the Lord continues to prosper your ministry. So.
But it is Written Ministry. It is Written Ministries. It's a worldwide ministry. We do evangelistic, you know, exhortation, teaching, counseling, the prophetic, you know, send out literature by mail and follow up phone calls and, phone banking. And
amen.
Right.
Amen.
And
restoring
harmony to the body of Christ.
Hallelujah. Yes. Praise the Lord.
Praise
God.
I
will certainly be back in touch with you,
okay,
Minister Stevie, and thank you again for your time, and God bless you.
Okay, God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye.